Hello, my name is Susie DeJong, speaker, coach, and author of The Untangling. And this is the Untangling series podcast, where we untangle our own unseen and unspoken chains that bind us to open up the way for us to experience more joy and peace and healing than we ever thought possible. So come and join me. Put on your comfiest clothes, grab a cup of something hot, or maybe even a glass of something bubbly. Put your feet up and let the untangling begin. Hello and welcome to my next episode in the series of the Untangling podcast. Today I had the immense honour of speaking with someone who has personally played a pivotal role in my own life. Giselle Gamby is based in Sydney and offers her services as a business and life coach, as well as also having her own amazing podcast called The Intuitive Pull. On top of that, she is also an amazing wordsmith and shares her wisdom and intuition through the written word. I have worked with Giselle on and off for probably over about the last 6 years. She has literally helped me change my life. I know that is a big statement to make, but looking back over those 6 years, I can clearly see the huge impact she has had with her support on not only who I am as a person, but also about the trajectory of my life and purpose. Giselle holds her clients in a way that is hard to put into words, but I will try. She has a skill that not many people do. She listens to what is not said, the space in between the words that are spoken. She is also one of the most intuitive people I have ever known. I invited Giselle to join me today to not only speak about some of the lessons that I have learnt from working with her in regard to taking 100% personal responsibility for my life, looking at the roles we may play in regard to the drama triangle, but also her incredible vision for the future and our role in it. This is Giselle's story. Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining me again on the Untangly podcast. Today is really special for me. Actually, the most special person is here with me today, and that is my coach, Giselle Gamby. And I was thinking, how do I describe what Giselle is to me, apart from a dear friend who will be in my life hopefully forever? Giselle is my business coach, life coach, spiritual coach, my everything coach. And I wouldn't be here with you today doing this video if it wasn't for her encouraging me and believing in me and making me believe in myself. So I'm so thrilled. And I wanted to also share, before I hand over to Giselle, something that I read on her website from one of her clients, a testimonial. And I just thought, this is beautiful. So that's why I've got my glasses on, so I can see. So this lovely woman, who I also know and is a dear friend, wrote, "Giselle is the breaker of limiting thoughts, the ender of generational belief systems, and the giver of true freedom." And I think that's pretty special. And I think that says a lot about who she is and what it is like to work alongside this amazing lady. So thank you, Giselle, for all of that. I love having you here.
Thank you, Susie. What do we do every time we get on Zoom?
Oh, my God, I forgot my tissues. Oh,
you made me cry.
I set you off already.
We do that every time we get on Zoom, you and I. We dangle our tissues because there's never a conversation that we don't have teary eyes, you and I.
I can't believe I did that already to you.
I've got goosebumps too. Thank you for having me. I mean, my God, what an honor to be here with you, especially on your podcast. Yeah, especially on your podcast, which was, we saw it.
We did see it. And I'd like to give a disclaimer also why we are sitting here in our
I forgot about that.
Dressing gown. Last year, I can't remember what month it was, Giselle and I went to a beautiful retreat up in the Sunshine Coast hinterland. And I was talking about my vision for this interview show podcast. And I said, I want it to be like a chat with a really close friend, just warm and comfortable. I said, we could even do it in our pajamas. So hence, we're both in our pajamas.
Yep.
I also have my Snoopy, if you can see it, because Snoopy's a bit of my favourite. And I just thought it would be fun. And kudos to Giselle for indulging me. So thank you.
Oh, it's nice and warm. It's bloody freezing here in Sydney, so I'm very happy. Wish I could start. Maybe I will start like this all day.
Well, it's the joy of working from home is you can wear whatever you like. And also, full disclosure, I don't normally have a full face of makeup on when I have my pajamas on. But
and,
you know.
And nor me.
Yeah. So yep. We're all good now.
And I normally don't have a bra on, but I do have a bra on today. I did do school drop off before, mind you.
And I'm also dog sitting. This is Millie. This is her cameo appearance. So she's on my lap at the moment, and then I have two dogs right next to me because we're dog ladies, and that's fine. It's reality.
Yes.
So I mentioned to you, Giselle, that I don't have any scripted things that, you know, I really want to go into because I know our conversation will just flow.
Yeah.
But there is a topic I'd like to talk about. But first of all, I just wanted to find out a bit more about your own journey to share with people so they understand how you've got from where you were
to
what you're doing today. So how did the journey begin from you being a senior HR manager in hospitality
to
moving into the field of coaching?
Yeah. So it was a plan that I didn't make. It was never anything that I ever had any intention to do. I was very happy in my HR career. I loved it. In fact, I worked in hotels, so I would hold orientations for new staff. And I remember always saying to them, I'll be here till, you know, whenever. I'm so happy. And then I had a personal crisis occur. So I was married to another man. And I was 18 weeks pregnant, and we had the 18-week ultrasound. And the doctor, you know, it was that horrible feeling when the sonographer goes out and you can just feel it coming. And we learned that the baby boy had a diaphragmatic hernia, which meant that his stomach had, he had a hole in his diaphragm, and his stomach had traveled up through to his chest. And there was a 7% chance of survival. So we found this beautiful surgeon who actually, when I was still working in HR, somebody that you know, who I won't mention, a beautiful, beautiful man, actually had this same surgeon when he was a little baby. So quite incredible. So a beautiful, beautiful surgeon who said if the lungs had already formed by the time he was 18 weeks, it's just a matter of just repositioning and then the children have perfectly normal lives. So we went ahead, but unfortunately he was operated on at 11 days old and, the lungs hadn't formed. So he was on life support from the moment he was born, and then we took life support off when he was 11 days old. So you can imagine, you know, the spiraling that happened there, and I had a really, really unhappy and very dysfunctional and emotionally and physically abusive marriage. And so I'll cut a long story short there. I left him and then really lost myself for a few years. And my then male best friend said to me, you've got to do this course, you've got to do this course. And I'm a Taurine and I don't like to be told what to do. So it took me forever to finally surrender. And I went to the information night and it just spoke to me and I signed up on the spot. And it was a 9-month program. I won't go into the piece that we might speak about later. I'll sure. speak about that later, but I'll just say that the catalyst that had me move from HR, actually leave, was I did a stream of consciousness writing. So we were in a meditation. I got out of my rational mind and just started writing, and it ended up being Joshua, my baby, who was speaking to me, was speaking to me and I was writing what he was saying. And I wrote pages and pages, but the piece that was the catalyst was he said, you're here to ignite people's spirits and hearts. That was all I needed. 11 days, I had that, and now I do the same to you. And I was just, in a mess. I was, so emotional. And I had no idea what that meant, absolutely no idea what that meant at a practical level, but I just knew in that moment that I had to leave my HR career. Because if I didn't, those words would just dissolve and go away. And even now I look back to myself and I think, my God, you were so brave. Like, I had a really great job. I was being groomed for this area, regional Pacific role. My parents at the time loved titles, my mum's Swiss directrice, and my mum.
Beautiful.
And one day my manager said to me, we need to make this person in your team redundant. I said, no, pick me. And
wow.
Yeah, it was great.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. I had told him that, I was planning on leaving. So it was an amazing creation because I had support to be able to tune in. And I really meditated every day for 6 months. And then 6 months down the track, I had the first version of what coaching looked like, and it was to bring to corporates the concept of taking 100% personal responsibility for their lives, because that was what brought me freedom. And that's how the ball started rolling. And then that was 2004, and it just continued.
So I was going to ask you a question, but it's probably a bit obvious now that you've shared that story about Joshua.
Yeah.
When was your first realization, I guess, that there's more than this 3D world that we live in?
Yes. Well, it's so funny that you say that, because I was going to put something away and I didn't put it away. Now I know why. I showed you this a couple of weeks ago. So in 1999, when I was pregnant, I went to a course by the Australian Institute of Management, and it was called Superworking. And these are the cassette tapes.
Oh, I love it. Oh, my
God. And basically, I remember what the lady said. She said, I can't call this meditation at this point in time because nobody will come. So I'm calling it super working. And so I learned how to meditate. And that was the moment that I knew that there was more to this life. Well, that was consciously, because even when I was a child, I remember having thoughts of, why am I in this body and not in that body over there? So I think as a child, I knew that I was more than this. I knew that I was a soul in this body. And then when I started to meditate in 1999, I definitely knew it. And, I found my home.
And introduced that to a lot of people. You have your own 9-week meditation program that you've created, which I've personally experienced and is amazing. And meditation for me was a huge game changer. It's just allows you, as you said, to get out of that the conscious mind and to go deeper, and it's healing. It's opens up creativity. It does so many things now that I hope that one day they bring it into schools. Yes. I know some schools do, and it could only help our children too with, their nervous system and just being able to get wisdom coming through and answers to things that might be troubling you. So,
yes,
I will put a link to
Giselle. Thank you.
And, creating, she has already created one 9-week program and is about to start creating her next, and they are just magical.
And I will say that in my meditation last week, I received the intuition to no longer charge for these 9-week meditation programs.
Now, that's so generous.
So, because I want to share this with as many people that I can.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't know when, but it'll be very soon in the next maybe, 4 to 6 weeks.
That's amazing. Thank you for that. Thank you. And Giselle also has her own podcast called The Intuitive Pull, which I will also share a link to.
Thank you.
And what I really, when I thought about interviewing Giselle, there was something that, normally with each person that I interview, there's one main thing that I know that is really important to share and that there's people out there that need to hear it. And so my intuition when I asked Giselle to have a chat with me today was to talk about this concept, which when you coach with her is part of her way of coaching, which I'd never really heard about before, and it's called taking 100% personal responsibility. I mean, I think we know about taking responsibility, but this is to another level, and it literally has changed the trajectory of my life, and I know probably all of the clients that have worked with you. So could you just share a little bit about how you came to stumble upon this process and what it's done for you and your clients?
Yes. So this is the bit that gave me freedom. So if you think about, the crisis that I was in, the drama that I was in, I was very much in my mind a victim of a horrible experience of, losing a baby at 11 days, a horrible reality of having a husband who was emotionally and physically abusive. So you can imagine I wore the role of victim very well. I had every evidence for it. And then when I did this 9-month course that I was telling you about, I learned the beginnings of that. And then after I studied with that person for a couple of years, then I came onto another coach who took it to another level. And so the idea of taking 100% personal responsibility moves us out of blame and judgment. That's number one. It moves us out of blame and judgment, because when we're in blame and judgment, we're never going to be free. We're always going to be powerless to that thing or to that person or to that event. And it's a vicious cycle, right? It's just this never ending loop. So, if I hadn't done that, I could have left that husband and gone to another husband and, he would have a different man, a different name and a different job and a different personality, but I would still be experiencing the same reality within myself. So I first of all learned about unconscious belief systems that I had running behind reality that I didn't know existed. So I learned that I had belief systems around unlovability and unworthiness. And those belief systems were a complete match for the life that I was living back then, a complete match. Like the story was a complete match to those belief systems. So once I learned that I had those belief systems, then I realized that those belief systems aren't actually true. It's not true that I'm unlovable, and it's not true that I'm unworthy. And what I also learned along those years, that who I really am is whole, complete, perfect, valuable, lovable. I mean, you think about a baby, when a baby's born, they don't come into the world feeling that they're unworthy or not good enough or powerless or that they can't trust. It then gets instilled through experiences. Normally they say between 0 and 7. But when the baby comes in, the baby's innocent and pure, So that created a lot of freedom. And then the other concept that in the spirit of 100% personal responsibility that my second coach gave me was that not only are we not victims, even though the story might very much give evidence for that, but we are creating our reality so that we can experience something that we've come here to experience, something that our soul has come here to experience. And we wouldn't be able to experience that thing had we not experienced the illusion in the first place.
Yeah.
I remember reading a lot of Neil Donald Walsh when I first started out, and he has this great metaphor. You know, he says if the room that we were in was completely white, the floor, the ceilings, the windows, us, our, you know, furnishings, clothing, everything was white, would we know what white is? And the answer is no. So if we've come into the world to experience our power, we have to experience our powerlessness to begin with. And so knowing that there's always a bigger picture unfolding, regardless of the circumstance, you know, death, divorce, illness. I work with some cancer patients. And to be able to show that, or at least invite the idea at the beginning that there's a bigger picture unfolding for them on behalf of them,
mm-hmm.
It's just completely freeing.
And it's, I've been through this process with you, so I can speak from personal experience. And the belief system is a massive one for all of us. And it's not until you stop and really, do the work and really look at things, and it's not always pretty, it can be messy, it can be painful. But the end result is, as you say, freedom, and that's what we all want. And that's the thing we want for our children, because they're always watching us. And to break those patterns of, handing things down that aren't ours.
Yes.
And that to me was a really massive, massive thing.
Yes. And yes. We don't hand them going forward, right? We don't hand them forward to our children.
No, they don't deserve that.
Yeah.
So when you work with clients, Giselle, do you see a common theme along that line of the different things that people are carrying with them that aren't theirs?
Well,
common belief that they have about themselves.
Well, one of the things that I absolutely ate up when I first did that 9-month program, being in HR, I'd done all the personality profiling systems, DISC, Myers-Briggs, and a whole heap of other ones. And then when I did this 9-month program, I learned about this personality profiling system called the Enneagram. And the Enneagram dates back to Sufi days. And the reason why this profiling system so resonated with me was because the Sufis believed, and the way that it was drawn out, and it's always in my mind's eye, is that there's a circle and then there's another circle on the outside. And that inner circle is who we think, that inner circle is who we really are. The fact that we're whole, perfect, lovable, valuable, just as we are. Nothing needs to be changed. We're all come into the world, with innate qualities and gifts. But for us to know that and experience those qualities and gifts, we have to experience the contrast. And so that outer circle represents the person that we believe that we need to be in this world in order to avoid pain. So if I think I'm feeling not good enough, well, then what I'll go and try and do is I'll try and become this a massive achiever. But whatever goes in comes out. So if we're feeling that we're not good enough, we might get that massive win, but we're eventually going to have a massive loss because of what is actually feeding. So the Enneagram, when I learned about the Enneagram, I absolutely ate it up, because the Enneagram says that it's like living in a house of 12 rooms. There's a different belief system in each of those rooms. And we travel to every single one of those rooms, but we prefer to hang out in about 3 of them. And so I learned about, belief systems of feeling that we need to be perfect, that there is a right way, that we're unlovable and unworthy, that we're not good enough, that we don't belong, that we need to control, that we can't trust, that we're insignificant and don't matter, that we don't have enough resources, time, money, and energy, that we're powerless, and also that we don't believe that we've got the capacity. So I see all of those belief systems as I'm coaching people. But it's interesting. I think the ones that work with me are the ones who experience unlovableness, unworthiness, not good enoughness, not belonging, and insignificance and invisibility and not mattering. I feel like, yeah.
Well, that was me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I was the champion of being invisible. That's just so interesting. And I, you know, it's funny. I never knew what a coach did, and I'm sure a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
But they obviously, people who have been through, they're a couple of steps ahead of you, so they understand what you're going through, and they can lead you through it, I guess, or walk beside you. But do you, when you meet your clients and, you know, decide that you're a good fit and that, you know, that you're right to work together, can you see ahead? Can you see the answers already, or can you see, I don't know, do you have clarity of what's happening? Because I know that you tune in a lot to people even before you meet them. So can you just share a bit about that?
It's a great question, because I love this question, actually. So sometimes I can, and sometimes I can get a certain amount of detail, and sometimes I can't, and I have to let it unfold. I remember this one person, I think this is about 2015, and yes, she was referred. Okay, so she knew about me, but I didn't know about her. And I remember driving, because sometimes I would drive to the beach if I was about to have one of these discovery calls, because I find that I can be really open if I'm by the water. And I remember driving, you know, to the beach, and I was tuning into this lady, and I just knew that we were going to coach. I just knew it. And I also had a sense of what her belief systems were about. And I thought, I'm going to be really bold here. And within the first 5 minutes, I said to her, I'm going to be really bold with you right now. I know that we are going to coach. And I think it was for a year up front. And then I spoke to what her belief systems were, and she was like, oh my God, you just nailed it. You know, like, yes, you know, within the first 5 minutes. And then of course I wanted to actually get to know her. Like, I wanted human to human. I actually wanted to. So then we continued conversations. So in that regard, yes. Somebody who I'm coaching at the moment who has, or who had cancer and who is trusting that it won't come back, I have so much conviction about him, and about that he has there's a reason why cancer came into his life, and he's here to elevate how doctors and patients relate with each other. You know, often doctors can do I'm the one in the authority and I have the power and I know all the answers, and you just have to follow me and listen to what I say and don't ask questions. Whereas he's here to change that and allow the patient to have as much power as the doctor does, and to be tuned into their own healing journey and decide what's true for them and which way to go. And I remember when I spoke to him on that first call, he then reflected back, you know, a few calls later, the conviction that I had about him allowed him to have so much trust in the process, even though in his mind he can't see it. He can't see where it's going. So sometimes, yes. Yeah. And it can be comforting for the person.
Absolutely. What a beautiful example of being able to reflect that back at him when he's ready to see it.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about personal responsibility, but I think another thing I'd really like to touch on, which I know we've talked about before, is that triangle of blame, rescuer, victim. That. Yeah. And when I talk about these things, and if someone might recognize themselves in this, it's not about being wrong or, you know, like being a bad person or anything. Working with a coach or going on a journey of self-discovery is about finding things that aren't working and changing them. And so if you see yourself in any of these roles, don't beat yourself up, because I was and still fall into the classic role of rescuer, but have learnt that that's not helpful for me or the person involved. So could you just maybe expand a little bit on that from your point of view?
Yes. So again, this was a piece that gave me a lot of freedom. And in the early days when I tuned in for 6 months and the program was initially for corporates, it was because this is what I saw in HR every single day. So the triangle, the blame and judgment triangle, says that there's three roles that we play. We play the role of victim, like you said. We play the role of persecutor, and we play the role of rescuer. And each of those roles are just so ultimately powerless.
Mm.
The victim is obviously powerless. The persecutor is powerless because they're blaming that event or that person for the thing that has gone wrong. So the power's not in them. And the tricky one is the role of rescue, which I have also fallen into, Susie, and I've put to bed for sure.
Yay!
is when, you know, it comes from a good place. Like, we want to help that person, right? We want to help that person because we can see the pain that they're in. And yet, whilst we want to help that person and that, because we believe that we have the answers, we're actually disempowering them. We're not allowing them to do what we're actually talking about here today, which is actually to choose to take personal 100, not 90% or 99%, but 100% personal responsibility. And that process of moving out of victim, persecutor, rescuer for whatever story we're in, it absolutely requires humility, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess for me personally, I never wanted to be in the role of victim. You know, I've had stuff happen that probably, you know, I could have. I think the thing that saved me was having a little baby that, you know, I had to put all my focus and attention and love to. But, yeah, it's not a nice place. It's a horrible place to be in.
Yeah.
There's no freedom there.
No. No, and it takes humility to be able to say, let me have a look at what I haven't actually yet seen, what I haven't actually yet acknowledged. And that process is not easy, you know, because then all the feelings come up and then all the thoughts come up. And it's not about bypassing all of that. It's about actually feeling all those feelings, as uncomfortable as they are. And, you know, your saying is you have to surrender and surrender and surrender again, you know. And it is, it's a process of humility, but ultimately it's also a process of, the end result is freedom.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah.
And I think unless and until you do that, you're just caught in that loop and it's not a nice place to be. So there is hope if you're willing to do the work. I mean, it all takes work. We can't just wave a magic wand and, you know, it's coaching is the reason people reach out is because there's an issue that's hurting them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they need support with, not talking about traditional business coaching, but life coaching or, you know, spiritual coaching. There's something going on that you can't fix yourself.
Yeah.
So you're looking to someone to help guide you. And I guess you have to be willing to look at the shadow stuff and the things that you might have packed away to give yourself that freedom. But hell, it's worth it.
Well, I'm going to make a plug for you here, Susie, because, you know, both you and I have had people who have said things like, you know, I saw a psychologist for, you know, 6 years, or I saw a counselor for 4 years or whatever. And then I've had a few conversations with you, Susie, and the freedom that I received in those conversations was more than I received in the 6 years of working with a psychologist or a counselor. And the difference is that, and I think it's probably because of the spiritual angle, is that we know that there is always a bigger picture going on for us to know who we really are. And so therefore, we, with that premise, we are not a victim to whatever is going on, as you have demonstrated with your life, as I have demonstrated with your life. And so I know that, you know, you get really excited when people that you've supported through your book, The Untangling, let's say, for example, and they come and tell you like how much their life has changed, how much their life has changed and how free they are. And that would never, ever, ever have happened if they went down the traditional route.
Yeah.
In the time frame, at least, that in the short time frame that it's taken by being with you.
And thank you. And the same with you.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be where I am today. And, you know, it's brave reaching out. It really is brave. So I encourage anyone, whether it's, you know, Giselle or myself or someone else in your circle, you know, if you're at a place where it's just, you know, you're feeling pain or you're unhappy or you just don't know how you got to where you got, reach out, because there's always someone there who will have your back.
You know, I'll never forget, actually, Susie, in 2013, I went through another crisis, and it was a business crisis this time. So I'd facilitated workshops from 2004 to 2011. And then I lost myself again in 12 and 2013, where I didn't believe that I was enough. And so I went and employed all that. We've had this conversation so many times because both of us have been down this track. I went and employed, you know, experts who told me how to do my business, and none of it was authentic, blah, 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 blah. Only ended up in, you know, absolutely nothing happening in my business and the line of credit going up and a lot of stress. And I wasn't well. I was experiencing panic attacks and, you know, a lot of anxiety every single day. And my husband telling me, you know, you've got to give yourself a cutoff date as to how long you're going to give yourself because the ship is really sinking here, which was really hard to hear. And I had met this person, this coach on Facebook that we had resonated, you know, we'd really connected with, and she lived in New Zealand and she works intuitively. And she one day reached out to me on Messenger and said, Giselle, are you okay? And I said, no, I'm not. And she said, let's have a call. And so I told her what was going on. And she said to me, you're in chaos. And I went, oh my God, I'm in chaos. Like, I couldn't actually see it. I was so in it that I couldn't actually see it. And her telling me that I was in chaos actually gave me relief, funnily enough, because it was like, oh my God, I'm in chaos. I actually can be here now. Because I know there's a picture, bigger picture unfolding. I know that. So yeah, one conversation. I mean, I ended up coaching with her for a couple of years, but one conversation, you know, can absolutely start to turn the ship like it did for me. Just accepting, I mean, that's part of taking personal responsibility, is actually being in acceptance, not in judgment of where we're at, even if it's really, really, really undesirable. And that doesn't mean resignation.
No. And I know, you know, we have had this conversation about, and I guess it's the part of where we both were in our lives of looking outside of ourselves for help, or thinking, well, that person's an authority, and, you know, and also following the trend of what's going on in the world of marketing and all of that. And it always felt so uncomfortable for me. I know it did for you too.
Yep.
And the realization finally of, no, trust yourself. If it feels wrong, it is wrong. Just be yourself, which is the tagline I know that you use, that authenticity is profitable.
Yes.
And we're not just talking about profit in the dollar sense, but in all areas of your life.
Yes.
And I think I'm pretty authentic now. Well, I'm sitting here in my pajamas and dressing gown with a dog on my lap. you know, it's so much more comfortable being yourself. And people are drawn to it because it gives them permission too, you know. It comes from believing in yourself and that you are worthy of, you know, that you are an authority in what you do, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be boastful. You don't have to, you know, take out Instagram ads or whatever.
Yeah.
You just do it, and then the people are drawn to you.
Yeah.
So much nicer.
Yeah. And then knowing that we're not here for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
How freeing is that?
But cool. Well, there's only one of us, so. We can't hear for everybody.
That's it. And, you know, coming from this place of resonance, right, because we're talking about resonance here, you know, versus like what we were doing and we got lost versus going down the mechanical way of, you know, you have to do X, Y, and Z in order to have this. The people that are here to work with us, they know that they're here to work with us. They can feel it.
Yeah.
I think actually, I remember somebody saying to me, I knew that I wanted to work with you before I even had a conversation with you, even though we never even met. Right? That's resonance. That's resonance.
Beautiful.
So much more fun.
It is. It is. And the highlight of my week was always my coaching session with you. I think, what am I going to talk about? And then magically it all just unfolds perfectly.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like, that connection. And it's so special.
Yeah.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about what is your vision for moving forward, what you see. Obviously, I know a bit about it because I coach with you.
Yeah.
And I'm part of your circle, but I'd love you to share what you see your role here is, what your vision is moving forward for all of us and the world.
I love that question. You know, there was a time where I wouldn't be able to answer this question because I would have to have had my elevator speech.
Yuck.
And I don't actually know what I'm going to say, but I can just tell you that my heart is going off and I've got shiny eyes. I feel like I get clearer and clearer and clearer, as we all do, right? Not just me, as we all do as we go about life, when we're taking 100% personal responsibility, that is. I feel like my role is to have people remember their sacred power. Yeah. So the power that doesn't come from the rational mind. Yes, the rational mind gets used afterwards for sure, secondary, right? We wouldn't be having a podcast episode here if your rational mind hadn't been engaged, but not as the first port of call. So I feel like my role here is to remind people of the wealth, and again, wealth meaning many, many, many things, of the wealth of the sacred power within them that is connected to everything. And, you know, the more I connect to my sacred power, the more I get shown directives and vision that I never even knew before I received it. Like, you know, you've migrated over to this new program called Sacred Leadership, which is for people that I've worked with for quite a while. And I never knew that that program was going to be here this year. Never in a million years did I think. I was happy running the previous program, the Catalyst, which still exists for new people. I never knew that. And how did that arrive? It arrived through the 9-week meditation program, because I also participated in it.
Mm.
So that's my role. I feel that's my role, is to remind people of the vast wealth in all ways that exists when we connect to our own sacred power. And also the joy of connecting with others who are also choosing to come from their own sacred power. Like, it's so much fun. And, you know, I said this to Ruby Rose this morning, to my daughter this morning. She's 12. I mean, okay, I'm being a little bit vulnerable here. So my husband was complaining, and Ruby Rose said, "Dad," and he was complaining about a job that he was about to do. He doesn't like, he's an electrician. He doesn't like doing little jobs. He likes doing big jobs, likes being on, he, you know, he loves like building houses. He loves, you know, working in a car yard and doing all their fancy lighting. And because he loves to have relationship rather than like walk in, walk out, walk in. And, you know, the people, he said the other day that he walked into this house to do a little job, and he said, "Good morning." And the person didn't even look around at him and say, "Good morning," you know? So Ruby Ray said, "Oh, Dad's complaining again." And I said, "Because Dad is doing a job that is a job. Like, he doesn't love his job. He loves aspects of his job, but he doesn't love his job." And I said, "Ruby Rose, I hope that you find a job that you love." I said, "Because I would even do my job even if I won the lotto. And she said to me, you wouldn't do, you would still work even if I won the lotto? I said, yes, I would still work because I love it. I love it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And working with Sacred Leaders Group, and I've said too, when you're, I feel like I've come home because I'm with people that just get me and I get them, and we, you know, we don't have to explain ourselves. We all understand the vision of why we're here and what that means and how we want to share that with the people around us and our families and the world. And that in a world that may feel like chaos around us sometimes, and especially with what's happening at the moment in the world, is that there is this beautiful sacred place of us being together that is untarnished by that. And when you're in that space, then you pay it forward. So I'm just so excited about what's going to come from all of this.
Me too.
And thank you. I'm so grateful. We had a beautiful few days down in Sydney the week before last, I think it was. And that was our first meeting, and magic already is going to come from that, or is coming from that, or has. And it's because of you. And I'd love you just to really sit with that and feel that, because it's a very special thing that you're doing. And I really applaud you for it.
Thank you, Susie. Thank you. You're like, I'm your biggest cheerleader, and you're always my biggest cheerleader, always making sure that I see. Thank you.
Well, I think it's important because you've always reflected stuff back at me, and when someone does reflect it back, it really goes in more than you just
it does
yourself. So it
does. That's why we have these things.
Oh, no, I don't bring one, but I haven't cried yet. But I might now, because I might cry with laughter. Now I'm going to ask you some questions. This is the fun bit. I have to put my glasses on because I can't read it. Though I did type it out in really big print.
Yes.
So I could do without my glasses, but no. So, Giselle, are you ready for some fun?
Yep.
Okay. Question one, who is your celebrity crush?
So, you know, I've listened to every single of your podcast episodes, so I have asked myself this question before. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Because yeah, he's such a man, but he's so gentle. And when he sings in Moana, oh, yum. I just want to be inside of him. I just want to be in his arms. Yum.
Rock. I'm going to throw a few different questions in. So
All right.
Have you on your toes.
Okay.
Well, you might have answered this, but if you could do anything all day long, what would it be?
Well, it would be what I'm doing, and I also love travel.
Yep.
I love, 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 love travel. So thankfully, I've made that happen in my work through retreats, which you have been on in Croatia.
Yes, and there's Kenya as well.
People Yay.
Feel drawn to do that.
Oh, yeah. That
check out the links.
You'll never regret that one. My God, you'll never regret that one. Safari is just, yeah, I can't get enough of that.
Beautiful. When you were a little girl,
yes.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, what a great question. Well, there were a few things that I wanted to be. I wanted to work at a makeup counter at David Jones or Maya, or Grace Brothers it was back then. my dad and mum weren't very happy with that. And then I thought I might become a teacher. So I actually did go to university thinking that I'd become a teacher, but then that didn't happen. But in a way, I'm a teacher.
You are.
Just not a teacher of what I thought I would be a teacher of.
What is your secret guilty pleasure?
Oh, I don't think it's that secret. I definitely love to have a... Actually, I'll tell you my latest guilty pleasure is a margarita.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say watching Married at First Sight.
Oh, and that too. So if there's a combination. I wouldn't normally do a margarita during the week, but I would have a wine or a gin tonic. And I love salt. I love, like, you know, people will eat chocolate. I will go to chips and dips and cheeses. And, yeah, watch Married at First Sight or The Bachelor or, you know, Real Housewives, all that rubbish.
What is your all-time favourite movie?
Oh, I haven't thought about this one. I'm not sure, Susie.
That's all right. We can come back to that one.
Yeah. I did love the one of Croatia that you were.
Oh, yes. I can't remember the name. Yes. That was beautiful.
And I love Ted Lasso at the moment, the series Ted Lasso. So wonderful. Yeah.
If you asked your kids what was the best thing about their mum, what do you think they would say?
Oh. Well, we were watching Parental Guidance the other night. I was watching Parental Guidance with Ruby Rose, and they were describing, the kids had to describe their parents. And I said to Ruby Rose, how would you describe me? And she said, confident. I went, oh, that's nice. That was nice. I think she'd also say fun. And that's Joel. Cool. Well, we have a fair bit of personal development kind of conversations. He's 17. So probably the fact that I love my work so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think that's what he wants for his life.
Beautiful. What a great example then you're setting.
Thanks.
If you could sit down and have a coffee with anyone in the world, past or present, who would that be?
I'd love to see my dad again.
Oh. Yeah.
And I'd love to see my grandparents again. That would be really nice.
What do you love most about yourself?
I think my resilience, Susie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I am positive. I do go to the bright side of things versus the dark side of things, although I don't at all deny the dark either, because that's part of the process. But I think I am a glass
half full. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Favorite swear word?
Oh. Well, I do love the word fuck.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Oh. Isn't it? And you know that expression, fuck that shit? Like that was going on in my mind last night. I went to a meditation night run by this beautiful woman that I see, and I had some awareness going on. I was like, fuck that shit, man. Fuck that shit.
Oh, I love it. I never swore before I was about 40.
Me too.
I never knew swear words when I was a kid because I went to an all-girls school and we didn't have brothers.
Yeah.
But now I just love it. I love it.
It's liberating.
It is liberating.
Yeah.
Yes, especially as you get older.
Yeah.
That shit. And finally,
if
your life was made into a movie, who would you want to play you?
Well, I know because I have heard that question before, but it wasn't hard for me because my sister-in-law used to always say when we first met that I don't think I look like her anymore because I'm not as skinny as I used to be, but Sandra Bullock, she used to say I used to look like Sandra Bullock, so I'd probably get her to play me.
Love Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, she's such a great actress.
Yeah.
And she's sassy.
She is.
I like sassy. You're a bit sassy.
Yeah, sassy's good, isn't it?
Sassy's good.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've come to the end and I've had so much fun as I knew that I would. And I'm so grateful for you coming on in your dressing gown. I know I'm a bit of a dag, but there you go.
We love that.
And I will share all of Giselle's details and take it from me. This lady can change your life. And I'm a true example of that. And I just love having her in my life. I adore her. And I just want to say thank you again and talk to you soon.
Thank you, Susie. And I just want to acknowledge your radical generosity. You are, I think, one of the most generous people that I know in my life. Such generosity. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Untangling Series podcast. I feel absolutely blessed to be on this journey with you. If you would like more details on where to purchase my book, The Untangling, I've popped the link in the notes below. Perhaps you may feel called to work with me one-on-one to support you in your own untangling. I would love that. I offer my services as a coach to walk you through this process in a unique bespoke program created solely for you because you are unique. Another one of my passions is offering my services as a keynote speaker. I do like engaging with others, as you can probably tell. If any of that is of interest to you, you can contact me directly by the links below or head on over to my website at susiedejong.com.au and I will get straight back to you, I promise. I love what I do and I know what my purpose is, to pay it forward and help others untangle and find their own freedom and joy. So bye for now, and I look forward to seeing you next time.